Okay, so for today, let us continue our discussion of minhagim relating to Chodesh Elul. Yesterday we had Drush relating to Chodesh Elul. Today let's just discuss some simple ideas, very basic halacha minhagim relating to Chodesh Elul. Okay, the first thing I want to mention is Chodesh Elul, let's start, is the minhag to blow shofar. Everyone knows that, starting with Chodesh Elul, we blow shofar. For all the days of why we blow shofar, it's a wake-up call. I saw a very frightening mashal. Made an impression on me, and I was debating if I should say it, but I'll tell you the mashal. Mashal ma'ad avadayme. Let's say, Rachman al-Stan, there's a fire. It's a fire in someone's... And the parents, they run out. And then they realize, oh no, we left one of the children inside. Oh. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. They can't go into the front door because already the flames are... consume the entrance. So they go to the window and they call out, Yankala, wake up! Wake up! Jump out of the window, we're here, we'll catch you. We'll catch you, jump. So Yankala is sleeping at 3 o'clock in the morning, the house on fire, and he hears a voice, he hears a coil, a sound, someone is screaming, wake up! Jump out of the window, we'll catch you. And Yankala says, I'm so tired. I'm so tired, not now. Don't bother me now. I'm so tired. Yankala, jump! If you're not going to jump, who knows what's going to happen? You're going to be, who knows? I'm tired, I can't. He goes back to sleep. And this repeats itself over and over. Rachman al-Tzlan, if he doesn't wake up, we know what happens to him. That's exactly what it's all about. It's Rosh Hashanah is coming, Yom HaDin is coming. It's frightening. We're supposed to be frightened. Yom HaDin is serious business. We don't know what's going to be. The call of Shofar of Elul is where Hashem is calling out, Oiru Yeshenin Mishinaschem. Wake up! And if we don't listen to the call of Shofar and have it make an effect upon us, Rachman Litzlan, we are acting in the same foolish manner like this child that doesn't want to hear and listen to the pleas of his friends and family to wake up and jump out of the window and get away from harm. I'm not a big fan of mashal, I'm not a dugmagi type of guy. But this mashal, it really is, it's a very powerful mashal.
Are there any specific kolos for Chodesh Elul?
Okay, excellent question. Now there is the shuva of the, who is this, the Bach? The question is, what exactly do you blow after that? All of us in our community, Tekiah, Shvarim, Teruah, Tekiah. I think that's all we hear, right? Yeah. No one here has heard, no one blows 100 kolos every day after that.
10, yes.
That's not so silly, because according to the Bach, there's really, that's only one of three. The reason why we blow a Tekiah, Teruah, a Shvarim, Teruah, we don't know exactly what a Teruah is. This goes back to the Gemara. It's Machlis the Gemara. Is a Teruah Shvarim, or we call a Shvarim? Is a Teruah we call a Teruah, the 9 short sounds, or is a Teruah? The Torah says, Yom Teruah Yihi Yelochan. It should be a day of Teruah, of calling out. What is Teruah? Is it what we call a Shvarim? What we call a Teruah, the 9 short sounds? Or maybe it's a combination of them both. So because we really do not know, we are uncertain, we have no choice but to do all three. We do Tekiah Shvarim, Teruah Tekiah, Teruah Tekiah, and Tekiah Shvarim, Teruah Tekiah. So now during the Chodesh El, where there is a Minog, what are you accomplishing? What are you gaining if you only do a Tekiah Shvarim to a Tekiah? And this is shocking to me. I never knew this until yesterday. That in Chanami, if you look back in history, in all the old communities, the Minhagim, and you look in the Poskim, and even today it could be, it's done not at least in these communities, there are or were many people that the entire Chodesh El blew after davening all three. Tekiah Shvarim Tekiah, Tekiah Teruah Tekiah, Tekiah Shvarim Teruah Tekiah. And this was done throughout the entire Chodesh Elul. This appears to have been very well accepted. Today, I don't know what happened. We fell off the face that we don't do that. However, there are people even today, it appears, that on Rosh Chodesh Elul, on the second day Rosh Chodesh, the first time you blow is the Hakdama to Rosh Chodesh, at least then you do all three. Tekiah Shvarim Tekiah, Tekiah Teruah Tekiah, Tekiah Shvarim Teruah Tekiah. Because since there is such a minute in time memorial to blow Chodesh Elul, Oru Yishem Mishinaschem, you have to do it right. And doing it right is the way you do it on Rosh Hashanah. And the way you do it on Rosh Hashanah, we don't know. That's why we do all three different types. So you have no reason when you do the minhag has to be done in the proper way, at least to do it the first day of, or the first day, which is the second day of Rosh Chodesh, the first day of El. So that's something that's definitely very interesting. Another interesting thing is how often do you do it? Our custom in our community is to do it only after Shachris. It's not so simple. In the olden days, they did it at least twice a day. They did it after Shachris, and in many places after Ma'ariv. Now, it could be after Ma'ariv, they probably, I would guess that in Poland and in all these places with the pogroms, Russia, wasn't a good idea to blow the shofar late at night. I'm sure the neighbors didn't exactly, the non-Jewish neighbors didn't like hearing the shofar being blown late at night, so it was stopped. Now, when it was stopped, so some blew it after Mincha. Mm. And then it appears, when I've read that, it was so disturbing not to do it twice, to preserve the minute, they did it two times during Shachris. They did it during Pesukei Dezimra, before Pesukei Dezimra, before Hodu, before Pesukei Dezimra, in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra, and then when davening was over, they did it a second time. Because it seems that it is brought down from the earliest sources that the shofar should be blown twice a day. Shachris and Ma'ariv, or Shachris after Mincha, we don't do it at night, so they did it two times during the day. We don't even do that. Most of us just blow it once after Shachris. Also, you have to take into consideration, years ago it was very hard to get a shofar. Today it's no big deal. Today everyone, every little kid has a shofar for Bar Mitzvah present. And today everyone is a bucky and everyone knows how to blow. And today they make the shofars very differently, where it's very easy to blow. But if you go back 100 years ago, it wasn't like that. If you had a shofar, you were a millionaire. Not too many people had shofars. And if you had a shofar, did it really work? To get it to blow didn't go so easy. You really had to be a mumche. You had to have unusual talent to get that one in a million shofaros to work. So it could be that the reason why our whole minhag has been downgraded significantly from blowing twice a day and blowing tekiah shvarim, tekiah is because of the difficulty and unavailability of shofaros and people that knew how to blow a shofar. Like I remember my parents telling me stories, and the Rambam used to always pass around the shofar. Got to a point where they started blowing the shofar, didn't go. So after a few shots, they gave it to the next guy. And when the time davening was over, they were literally passing the shofar from person to person. You tell that to a person today, tell that to an 18-year-old kid today who davenes in yeshiva, they look at you like you're from Mars. Should be covered to blow a shofar. Who's the Baal Tokeah? There's only one Baal Tokeah. The Baal Tokeah has in this big five shofars.
Yeah,
it's unheard of to pass around the shofar from person to person. It's unheard of.
But they had about 4, 5, 6 in the bag. Why
they didn't go? Not everyone had a shofar. And the shofars today, there's a lot of technology. They know how to make shofars much better. They do all these tricks. And there are so many of them, and there are so many people that know how to blow. It's a different generation. But it appears, I'm guessing, is that the effect of the difficulty that used to exist in years ago has had an impact on us. That's why it's been downgraded. Once a day is enough. If you can get out of tekiah, wow, you're a millionaire. It's good enough. You don't have to be machmir with all of these hidurim. So that is something which is
I heard that
different. Yeah.
In Rosh Hashanah,
yeah.
Person should go. The tokeya is more important than chazan.
What?
The tokeya is more important than chazan. He should go to the place that the tokeya is yirat shamayim and is very higher than.
That's a tough call. There are many factors that go into that halacha. That's generally true. The Baal Tekeah is more important. But if you're going to go to a place where they only blow shofar and they don't daven altogether, or the davening is significantly worse than the other place, you don't always say that rule. You can't generalize. That's true. That's a halacha. That's true. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's true. Baal Tekeah. But there are many other factors that you have to take into consideration before you decide where you're going to daven. Okay, next thing. Yeah, now this was very shocking to me. It's something new, it really shook me up. But this sefer they have, it's broken into different sections. They go through an inyan, they go through all the halachic makaros, very detailed halacha, and then they trace a thick sefer. I forgot what it's called. I'll tell you the name of the sefer. And then they go through history, customs, all different communities, and then they go through stories from Hasidim, Maisel, a few little stories in each Indian. So it was very interesting that it was a very, very beginning to Lo Shavar, certain rebbes, certain groups of Hasidim, and the rebbe would go to, first of all, this is in, where do they keep the shofar? So where do you keep a shofar today? Oh, Aron Kodesh, very fascinating. It was a hakpada to keep the shofar. It's just a sensitivity of how you view. We don't do this today, but at least to get an appreciation of what they used to do years ago, to get an appreciation of what it's all about. Unfortunately, a lot of this is lost from us. They kept the Aron Kodesh. That's how holy it was, the shofar. It was kept in the Aron HaKodesh together with the Sefer Torah. You don't just keep it in a bag on the shelf or on the bima on the bottom or somewhere in your bookcase, buried somewhere. Aron HaKodesh. Number two, this is a real shock. Not only do they go to mikvah, or they mak, but they should go to mikvah before they blow shofar in the morning, in the days of Elul, they would toivel the shofar. This was amazing to me. They got up, they would toivel the shofar in the mikvah. Why not? It's a kli, it's a utensil. It's a utensil. You can use a shofar to be the cup of water, the Gemara says. As a child, I assume it's mekabel tumah. It's a musical instrument. I'm assuming a shofar is mekabel tumah. And they would toivel the shofar in the mikvah before they blew shofar, so that it should be sanctified to a certain degree. This is a shocking. I have not heard anyone do this today. I wouldn't suggest that you do it. But the only reason I'm saying is, look at their sensitivity that they had in previous generations. We'll never do this, so we shouldn't do this because it's not for us to do. But it should at least awaken us that this is serious business. This is not just a child's play.
Doesn't change the voice of the shofar when they make the milah?
I was wondering that. It dries. You got to dry. You have to make sure it's fully dry. I don't know the answer. Okay. So that pretty much takes care of the min. Now, also, one of the things that we say every day in davening doesn't. This doesn't work for me. I don't know how. There are many calculations, but how in the last Halleluka. Before we say Baruch Hashem Li Olam Amen Vi Amen, we have there are really 12. There are 12 expressions. So the Mefarshim tell us those 12 expressions, Hallelujahs, correspond to the 12 months of the year. Now I don't know how this works because in my calculation it's number 5, not number 6. But supposedly when it says Hallelujah B'Seika Shofar is the 6th. Let me try that. Halalu kel b'kotsho. Okay. Halalu b'yukiuzo. Halalu b'gvirosov. Halalu krov gulo. Halalu b'seik asho. That's 5. I don't know what we're talking about.
Maybe the first halalu counts as 1.
Halaluka. I don't know what this means. I don't know. So I shouldn't say things. I don't know what it means. Halalu, that's the first one. Maybe, I don't know what it means. You have to see how well this works. Or maybe they're not in order. Beseka, each one corresponds to a month, one of the months of the year. And that Hallelujah corresponds to Chodesh Elul. Elul is the 6th month of the year. How do we praise Hashem? We praise Hashem by blowing Beseka Shofar. That requires more. Okay, so you want to say that's the first one, but then you have to make sure there are no extra ones at the end. You have to see how then that number works out. Alright, so that concludes the inyan of blowing shofar, the minig of blowing shofar. So we're going to a few short inyanim, blowing shofar during Kodesh El. Let's go to another main. Minig of saying to a person, a kasiva v'chasima toiva. Right? You're supposed to wish your friend Yeshav a year. He should be written and sealed for good, L'toiva. Yes.
I heard that you can start from Tuba.
Oh, correct. So there are different opinions. One opinion is Tuba Av, because Tuba Av is already the end of Av. I'm not prepared. I didn't review the reasons why, but it's true. Others learn you can even say it Mitzoy Tisha B'Av. Even Mitzoy Tisha B'Av, when you walk out of shul, you can say to a person, and some of the cousins, you start on the 19th day of Av. Why the 19th day of Av? Because that's 40 days before Rosh Hashanah. 40, the seventh is the number 40. Moshe Rabbeinu spent 40 days in Shemayim from Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur. So when it comes to doing tshuva, hachana, arboim yom koydim yitzira, arboim kam of, takes 40, conception takes 40 days. From the time of conception until a child is called a viable child, there are 40 days. There's something to the number 40. Okay, obviously, the four numbers of significant number are 40 malchus, 40 days of conception. Therefore, you can start saying Ksil v'chasimutav on the 19th day of Chodesh Av. So basically, we have three opinions. Either Mitzoy Tisha B'Av, Tuba B'Av, or the 19th day of Av. There were different Minhagim Gedolei Yisrael that did different customs.
Excuse me, the Mem of Mishle, that it is capital letter, is also belong to Mem of this?
The Mem, I'm not aware of any connection. Maybe there is. I'm not aware of any connection. Okay, now, it's interesting that you look at the old Svarim, the Maril, the Inyan of saying Ksiv HaChasim Tov is not a minog, did not originate as a minog of saying to your friend, I want to wish you Ksiv HaChasim Tov. It was done in letters. It was done in when you would write a letter. Today no one writes letters. Today everyone writes text. And the text is very informal and full of spelling mistakes and crazy new techniques of abbreviating words with letters and whatever, you know what I'm talking about. And acronyms, LOL, and this, all these crazy things, the whole crazy new world, how you write text and how you would email, even email, there are big difference in style and how people communicate through email. But it used to be people used to write letters. Can you imagine such a thing? They used to have paper and pen, write letters. And I don't know where this comes from, but in the concept of wishing a ksiva v'chasima toiva originated in letters. And when you write a letter, you're supposed to write ksiva v'chasima toiva, or some expression. And not only that, it wasn't that you should actually write it. You should be, I don't understand where this comes from, you should be meranes. So it's brought down. You shouldn't actually write the word ksiva. It should be alluded to. Berenes. I don't know what this all that means, because you don't want to chep with the satan, right? The satan, you don't want to do anything head on to the satan. You want to go around the satan. When you go around the satan, you go around him by not taking him head on, indirect way. It's merames. Where is this merames? It's beautiful of art. Now, when do you begin to say ksiva? Primarily doing chodesh elul. Okay, you can start from the end of Av, but primarily Chodesh Elul, where is it in the two? It's a beautiful Bimukar. Vayish'alu ish lirayehu lishalom. Each one asked of his friend lishalom. Where's that pasuk? Vayish'alu ish. Love and Yaakov. Vayish'alu ish lirayehu lishalom. The first letters of these words spell Elul, not in order. Vav vayishalu ish aleph lirayehu lamid lishalom lamid.
Yosef
vayishalu ish lishalom. So we have there, we have two lamids, a vav and an aleph. Aleph Elul. Those letters spell out Elul. So this idea that a person should be merames to his friend in a letter, nigerah shlumim. You want to put in words. You want to, you know, when you write something, it's much more powerful than when you speak. And you don't want to write it explicitly, because you don't want to get the satan involved. You want to hide from the satan. And it's hinted to in this expression, Vayish'alu ish lirayehu lishlom. The Rosh Teva spell El. Now, interesting, there are different ways of wishing your friend peace. It's brought down that you should, you don't do this, but it's brought down that you should wish him a complete, or in Yiddish, a gesund, a ganz a ksiv v'chasimato. Everyone hear that expression before? Anyone hear that you wish your friend a ganz a ksiv v'chasimato? I never heard that before, but there's such a thing. Why? It comes from the Nusach HaTfilah. In the V'chol Ma'aminim, we ask Hashem, we mention Hachoisei Chayim L'chol Choy. Life is given out by Kadosh Baruch Hu in cuts. That's part of the Nusach HaTfilah. Hashem cuts. Hachoisei Chayim L'chol Choy. when you get a slice, you saw by Yisro, see a model of Al-Kari, an extra Al-Kari, he can go.
All of a sudden, I had the next Pusik had Moshe in it when I said
slice.
No,
it wasn't by
Yisro.
No, when Yisro comes to
this.
Sorry.
Okay, don't worry about it. Vayish'alu ish l're'ehu l'sholoim. I want to say something. Achoy se chayim l'chol choy. Hashem slices life. It's a very interesting idea. How does Hashem give out life to people of the Yom Hadin? He slices a sliver of life. You don't want your portion to be cut short. You have a piece, you have a portion, and you get cut a little bit less, it's lacking. That's how it came this minute that it should be a complete ksiva v'chasim, a complete year of life. Okay, let me tell you a gvaldig story from Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. It's a beautiful story. A person, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, once he was going with the last Mitzoy Shabbos of the year. He met a stranger in the street, and he said, oh, the Rav, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, the Rav of Yerushalayim, Shavua Tov, a good Tvach. He said it in probably in Yiddish, a good Tvach. Mitzoy Shabbos, he said a good Tvach. I guess he was shogun with him. So Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld said to him, a good Yor. And this comes from there's a minute of time from time immemorial, and if a person gives you a bracha, you're supposed to give them more. So they say to you, a good Tvach, have a good week, you wish back a good year. There are other examples to this. You wish a person a good night, Laila Tov, a good night, so you say to him, Kol Tov Sela, or you say to him, there are other expressions, I'm not familiar with all of the expressions, but there is such a thing that when a person gives you a bracha, you give back to them more than what they gave to you. So by Shaya, Kachaya, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld was coming out of shul, a stranger in the street passed him, and he said to Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, a good Tvach. So Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, just naturally, as he moves across, he said to him, a good Yar. He comes home, and all of a sudden he looks faint. His family says, what's wrong? So he says, I met a person after davening in the street, he wished me a good Tvach, I must speak to that person. What did he look like? He looked like this. Where is he? I don't know. You have to help me find him. Family said, it's ridiculous. We can't help you find him. You don't even know his name. You don't even know what he looks like. I insist. You have to help me. With great effort and toil, they were able to figure out who the person was. And they told him his name. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld went to see the person. He went to visit him. Knocked on the door. And he gave him lavish brachas. A whole collection of brachas. So the person said to him, my hi, what's this all about? You said to me a good Tvach, you wish me a good week. You gave me a brach of 7 days. It's been my custom since I'm a child, since I've been born, always to respond more than what I get. I said to you a good year, but the year ends on Tuesday. There's only 3 days left to the year. So my response, I gave you only 3 days bracha when you gave me 7 days bracha. I don't want now at this stage in my life to have violated my custom that I've been meticulously careful to observe my whole life. Therefore, I had to seek you out and give you what you deserve. Give you bracha is much more than the 3 days. So that's a very interesting thing. You wish a person the bracha, shouldn't take it lightly. When you wish a person the ksiva chasim etoiva, you don't know how far your brachas go, especially a sincere bracha. Very interesting. I don't know. I don't do this. I only did this once. I didn't do it. It wasn't even to a real rebbe. Anyone give a kvittel to a rebbe? Anyone have give a kvittel to a rebbe?
No.
Not even one person. You give a kvittel, right? You give a kvittel to a rebbe. But there's such a thing as giving a kvittel to a rebbe. When you give a kvittel, what do you do? I don't even know this. So a chassid explained to me. You just write your name. Basically, it works with you. You go to a shrink. They look at your handwriting. And they analyze the handwriting. There's a chokhmah in reading a person's handwriting. Right, you write. So you don't have to write what you want. People like someone like me, a litvak, I'm a snaggy, doesn't really know how saga what a rebbe is. So when you go to give a kibble, it means you write down a whole long laundry list. I want A, B, C, D. This is what you want. No, that's not the way it works. The way it works is you just write down your name. All you do is write down your name. And you give your name with a donation, of course. Pidyon money. You give your name with pidyon money, with money to the rabbi. And not talking about in this generation, I don't know if there's anyone in this generation that really, if I believe in anyone that has such power, but it used to be in the previous generations, there were very, very holy people. No one is denying that. Very holy people. And they look at your kvittel, and when you write, part of your neshama comes out in your handwriting. There's something to it. You can't say not. There's by the goyim, it's a big thing. There's studies, there are books, there's a lot of chokhmah in how you write. And when the Rebbe, and when your Rebbe reads, he looks at your kvittel, he's able to see things that you do not see, and he's able to be mispalel for you and pull off things, pull some strings for you. Again, today I'm not so sure we have such people like this here.
My father used to say, "I'm Rosh Hashanah is written, and Yom Kippur is sealed, and Shana Rabba, which is a good kvittel."
A good kvittel, yeah.
Your name should be.
So, but their kvittel means. Kvittel there means something else. Hashem mails
it out.
Hashem is mailing out the kvittel. But okay, we're using kvittel in the.
We wish everyone a great kvittel.
So you write your name and your mother's name. That's what you're supposed to write when you give a kvittel. So I didn't know this.
Sadiq Gamur, and right away. It is medium.
That's
if he's going to Oshano Rabbah, that's someone that problem is going to fix himself. That time is the final time that he's going to be sealed.
There's a minhag when you go for a kvittel. Okay, next time you go to for a kvittel, there's a minhag. San, middle by the sons brought out during Elul. Nogi halacha lemaisa. Elul, you're supposed to write your name, your mother's name, and you're supposed to add likasiva v'chasima toiva. You're supposed to add those words into the. That's the halach nach for mila. If you're chosid, it's not just stam, you give a kvittel. You have to give a kvittel with the words ksiv v'chasim etova.
Tomorrow or Thursday, when would you like me to take?
To who? To who?
I don't want to discuss that privately. You have to be willing to.
I gave a kvittel once, not to a rabbi. I gave a kvittel to a grandson of a very, very big rabbi, someone that was the real deal. And now, you know, that Rebbe here, I'm not going to tell you all the names, he had their Rebbe's now with that name. This one is, so I said to him, "You're my Rebbe. I know who your grandfather was. I know about him. I never met him. I know about him. My mother and my grandfather used to talk about him. He was a very holy person." I said, "You're his grandson. The person's not a young man, but I was a friendly with him. So I'm going to give you a kvittel." So he told me all about the kvittel, how it works. And I asked, "Did anyone ever give you a kvittel?" He said, "Never. No one ever gave him a kvittel." He said, "I'm going to give you a kvittel." So I wrote down my name, he told me, and I gave it to him. And it was fascinating that within a week, I gave him a kvittel, not for me, for someone else. I think with me also. And within a week, something happened, which is very unusual. It was on target with what I wanted. Now, it didn't make it all the way. It didn't go all the way, but it was amazing how this didn't have the coincidence of such an event happening right after I gave him a kvittel. Unusual, it didn't work, it didn't go. So I was saying, it could, because he's not a real rabbi. He's just a balabas. He was the yoyresh, the koyach of the zeda. But had he been a little bit more, he could have pulled it off all the way. And that it was so. I have to tell you all the details. Maybe you would get a sense, like, you know, maybe there's something to it. Maybe there's something.
So when do we go?
But
which rabbi we're going to?
It's up to Rabbi Levine's schedule. We'll see.
Okay.
He's a cold.
No. Bring your bank book.
Okay, let's discuss two more minhagim. Two more short minhagim relating to Chodesh Elul. There's a very nice minhag to say Tehillim. Chodesh Elul. To be marbe in Tehillim. How many Tehillim are you supposed to say? 10. Why 10? Because there are approximately 150 mizmorim in Tehillim. Different versions of how many you have, right? What do we have now? 147 or 150? 150, that's our version, 150? So if you say 150 twice, so how, that's 300. What's 300? It's gematria kaper, to atone. Chof pei resh is 300, kaper, atonement. So there's a minig, it's a very beautiful minig, and everyone, the chaznish, all the gedolim used to do this. I don't know why we don't do this. After davening, you're supposed to say bitzibur. It's a serious thing. No one does it today. I don't know why. Bitzibur, you're supposed to say in bitzibur, 10 mizmorim every day after davening, and also it's critical to do this. And they say that this is really what's most important, to say Kaddish, Yosem.
After.
Mm-hmm. You say 10 mizmorim, and then you say there's a Yehiratzon that's printed in the Siddur, especially Yehiratzon for the Aseres who made Tshuva, I don't know if it has in the Siddur, but the different Yehiratzons. And then you say Kaddish, Kaddish Yosem. This is a very important minute. This was really, this used to be done, say it twice.
Made Tshuva, at least to say 15.
Oh, then there are different variations of the, and then they say you say 15, so you get an, you get an, another whole cycle until
during the year. It used to say until.
Okay, for some reason, this minug, this discussed at great length, and I don't know what happened, why this fell to the wayside in our generation. Another very important minug is to go to the Beis Hakvaras. To go to the Beis HaKvaras during Chodesh Elul, especially to go Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev Yom Kippur, and it's very good for everyone. It's like a joint venture. It's good for the Mason. Someone is coming to visit them, and they have a Nachas Ruach. It's good for us because they in turn are mispalel for us, and it's good for, I guess it's good for the person's neshama that he has some his oirus. That he realized if he doesn't do tshuva, this Rahman al-Islam is where
Saif
Kol Adam.
Put stones down.
You put stones to show that you were there. That's another good. You put down a stone like Yaakov Evan al Matseva. It's a sim, that's a minig, and you put down stones. And this is something that's new to me, I never knew this, is that there's such an thing that you should go to mikvah. Now, we don't do this. You should, before you go to the Beis HaKvaros, a person should go to mikvah. It's a very big inyan to be tahar. Before you go to mikvah, before you go to the Beis HaKvaros. Now, it's something again because people, I don't think the average person go to the Beis HaKvaros, they go special to mikvah. We're not, I mean, most people that I know are not on that. It's one thing you go Erev Shabbos, that's a nice thing to go, but to go before you go to the Beis HaKvaros. But it's brought down, if you can't go to the Beis, you can't go to mikvah, you should at least wash your hands. Everyone hear this? Before you go to a cemetery, before you come into the cemetery, you should come in a state of tahara. Okay, there are different types of tahara. We're not talking about tumas meis. Well, anyway, old tumas meis. There's tumas keri, or even a person that doesn't have keri. Just the fact that a person even had to hear hurim, you don't know that any type of hearing can cause an effect in your body to be not 100% pure. So ideally, a person should go to mikvah. It's not practical for most of us, but the next best thing is before you go into the cemetery, it's a good idea to wash your hands to be in some state of tahara. Okay, pretty much that's all I prepared for today, so we'll stop with that. Have a wonderful day.
Wonderful.